turn it on.
All right, good. Take your Bibles, if you will, and go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 6. And I'm going to preach on revival too, okay? And I just want you to know when I say some things about revival, Brother Dallas has already heard this message. I practiced on him, and we had revival. He got right, and so it was a good day today, and so he's already heard it. I don't sound like I'm contradicting anything he said. But revival is one of the most misunderstood words in our Christian vernacular. You'll hear people say, well, we had revival. And what exactly does that mean? You know, for a church, what does that mean for a Christian? As he preached, I mean, he gave you a pretty good definition for the Christian, but what does it mean for the national revival? I think what he said last night about, for a lot of us, what that means is a Republican president and our stocks to go up and for the economy to do well. And that we'll call that revival. Some Christians, that's what they would call revival. I don't think that's the Bible definition of revival. If you look up the word revival, it's defined like this: a return. You heard that? A recall, a recovery, or a renewal of a living thing from a place of death. And so you see, when we are revived, we are headed the opposite way and we get renewed. We come in, we get renewed. I'm from Southeast Kentucky. It is nothing during the summer to see tents everywhere. And that's a revival. That's what they call it, a revival. Now, when you go under those tents in Eastern Kentucky, you're liable to find women preachers. You're liable to find snakes. Like, not people. I'm talking about real snakes, you know, and passing them around and handling them and all that. Fire, drinking poison and all that. I don't know if y'all know what I'm talking about, but that's what they do in the mountains to prove their faith or their foolishness. But that's a real thing, and it still happens today. I'm not talking about in the 60s and 70s. I'm talking about in the 2000s. And they say, well, we had revival. Well, how did it go? Well, Brother so-and-so picked up a rattlesnake. Now, that ain't the kind of revival I'm looking for. You know? And Brother so-and-so drank some poison. Well, that was dumb. And that's not the revival I'm looking for. Sometimes you have a large crowd, man, and I've done this. I've done this to say, we had revival tonight. What do you mean? Well, we had some visitors. And now I'll be honest, I was hearing a preacher talk today. Brother Dallas was talking to him, and a preacher said, you know, we had some visitors, and we had folks saved, and it just livened the place up. You know, it really helped. And so it can, but that's not, I mean, what do we do if we didn't have a large crowd? Is it not revival? Can we not have revival without a large crowd? I don't think the amount of people dictate revival. Sometimes it's a guest speaker. Now, I am a guest speaker, so be real careful right here, okay? But, you know, the guest speaker don't pack revival in their suitcase. If you have revival, it'll be your decision. I can't force feed you revival. Sometimes it's special singing. You know that you have some special singing, a lot of revivals. Y'all ever see the papers, you know, the little papers that put up in the store or you get mailed out and it's like we're having this preacher and these singers. And you have special singing, you know, for the revival. Now, I'll tell you this, you can't Amy Grant your way into a Billy Sunday revival. They don't work that way. But some people think, when we had revival, what happened? Well, the so-and-so family or these people sang, and man, it was revival. How do you define that? And so the truth is, revival is not just a meeting where lost people get saved. It's not. Now, can lost people get saved at revival? Yeah. But you know, revival implies that whatever is being revived was already alive. Revival's for the church. Revival's not a service to fellowship with the brethren over some fried chicken, although we enjoy fried chicken or fried fish or egg rolls with meat in them. I mean, you know, whatever it may be, you know. And that's revival. Revive my taste buds, that's for sure. That's not revival. We walk away and say, that's revival. We had revival tonight. What did we have? We had fried chicken. Revival is not a service at all. It's a renewal, a return, a recall, or a recovery. We pray often for national revival. We get excited when we have what we think is a church having revival. We inspire others when we experience a home revival, when there's a home that starts to turn towards God and get away from some things that maybe they were involved in. But what we need tonight, just like Brother Dallas preached, is a personal revival. Now, this is a weird segue, but just trust me here, okay? My wife loves Disney World. She needs revival. I don't know who here has been to Disney World a few times. I've been to Disney World a lot. Not by my own choosing, okay? It's the same. Now, there's a few new things this year or last year or the last few years that they put in, but you can't get to it because it's a six-hour wait. I don't like waiting 20 minutes for my food. Why am I going to wait 2 hours to ride a roller coaster that I've already rode 10 times? Makes no sense, but my wife loves Disney World. Well, one year we went to Disney World. Well, let me tell you this story first. Last year, we went to Disney World with Brother and Mrs. Dallas. Brother Dallas and I are very close friends, and me and my wife, and he and his wife, and my son Will, we went to Disney World. And my wife, who loves Disney World, did I say that already? She got the bright idea to order us all matching shirts. Because it ain't enough that we got to pay $200 a day to go to the place, but we got to buy some custom shirt for $50 to wear around saying that we're at the place, you know. And so we all get matching shirts. Now, the boys' shirts had red sleeves and green sleeves, and the girls' shirts had red sleeves. And so me and Will and Brother Dallas, our shirts are green and are white and green, and they say the same thing as the girls' shirts, which are white and red. And it was cute, you know, whatever, I'll do it for a day, you know, score some points with the wife. But we go to Disney World, and Mrs. Davis and Mrs. Dallas, because the Dallas had never been there, or Mrs. Dallas had never been there, and so they wanted to ride a Space Mountain. So we was going to let them ride Space Mountain. So Mrs. Davis and Mrs. Dallas go to ride Space Mountain. That leaves Brother Davis and Brother Dallas and Will. So here's these two grown men wearing matching shirts, pushing a stroller with a kid in it. You want to talk about the looks that we got? I mean, we're just walking around and, you know, pushing a stroller, and people are like, to the point where you eventually have to say, listen, we're not together. Just so you know, okay? But we were looking for a place to kind of relax, and so I walked up to, and I wasn't even thinking about the matching shirts. I walked up to one of the guys that worked there, and I said, hey, has you got any place where we can lay down or something? It's hot out here. He's like, you mean in the kingdom or in the park? And I was like, yeah, in the park. He's like, no, I actually don't. I said, what about a massage? You got a place where you get a massage or something? My feet are hurting, man. And he's like, no. And then we walk around, we sit on this bench, and it hits me. And I move to the other bench. And so me and Will are sitting on this bench, and he's sitting on this bench, and people are still walking by. And now they're looking at us like, well, y'all are wearing the same shirt. Why aren't y'all sitting together? And so then, you know, we got to go get the ladies. So we go over to, we're walking back to the ladies, and the parade starts. And he's, you know, they're doing it different than they used to. And so here comes this parade, and they got these horses, big Clydesdale horses. And, I mean, they're amazing. I mean, it's a pretty neat little thing. And it's the princess parade, though. So the princess is waving. And I wasn't even paying attention to who was on the float. I was looking at them big old horses. Well, sure enough, there's me, Brother Dallas, and Will, and we're watching the princess parade go by. I mean, you talk about embarrassing. I mean, it was something else. But you know what? We had a good time at Disney World. Now, back to my original story about Disney World. One of the million times that we went, I'm a tightwad, by the way, tighter than 10 toes in a sock. And so I try my best not to let my money get away from me. I didn't grow up with a lot of it. And so if I get a little, I want to put it away and, you know, and hold it. So So we go to Disney World, and I tell my wife, I said, now listen, she's like, oh, I got to get this for Will. You know, we got a kid now, so we got to buy stuff for him. And so she's like, I get this for Will. I was like, no, you don't either. I was like, how much is that? She's like, $20. I was like, look right here. I pull up my phone. I said, Amazon. You get three of them shirts for $15. She's like, well, he needs a souvenir. I said, why? She said, so people know he came to Disney World. I said, can't we just tell them? Apparently not. So we got to buy a shirt. So I bought a shirt. I said, well, let me buy these. I give him three shirts. Well, I ordered them shirts. I don't know if y'all have ordered anything on Amazon, especially here lately. It's a little questionable because there's different sellers. And let me just tell you what I got. I got some shirts. Goofy's eyes is like sideways over here. Looks like he's stoned, you know, on the front of the shirt. Mickey's mouth, you know, is weird. He's a rat, you can tell, but I mean, it's just weird mouth. Anyway, somebody personally made these shirts, and they're terrible. And so I was like, good idea. Now how are we going to get him a Disney shirt? She said, I guess we have to go back. I said, he's going to wear them shirts. That's his souvenir. She's like, they'll think we went to somewhere else other than Disney. I was like, well, hey, that's our souvenir. That's what we got. That's what we're going to have. And, you know, it's almost like those 99-cent stores, those who've been in Orlando, you know, buy this cup and Disney spelled, you know, like D-I-S-N-E-E, you know, Disney. And so then you buy those souvenirs. So I tell that story to say this. With revival, I feel like there's some souvenirs that we can leave with, and I hope you leave with tonight. At least by tomorrow night when we're out of here, that you say, you know what? I've been to revival. And I don't just mean a souvenir with weird eyes and a weird mouth, you know, or wasted time, just time that you put in, or just being in the service. But I'm talking about some real souvenirs. And I want to read you a passage here where a man has revival, and he takes away three souvenirs I think we could take away tonight from a revival. Let's look at it. Isaiah chapter 6. The Bible says this in verse number 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. He laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here I am. Send me. I want to pray, and then I want to preach on some souvenirs of revival. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, I'm glad we can have fun and we can laugh at church. There's no regrets for laughing at church. There's no dirty minds or worldly thoughts, Lord, for laughing at church. Thank you we can have a good time serving you. But Lord, I pray this would be more than just an hour that we spend, hour that we spend at church. Lord, I pray it would be a revival. Lord, may we take away a souvenir so we could say, hey, I remember. I went to the revival. Bless the preaching, I pray. Speak to hearts as only you can in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing I want you to understand or to know is that the prophet Isaiah here is facing a personal crisis. The death of his family member, King Uzziah, the king of Israel who began to reign when he was 16. He had reigned for 52 years. So he was a long-standing a veteran king. He dies, and he had sought for God to help him and to prosper him, and God had. And Isaiah had been the prophet during that time and had grown close to that king. Having a godly king, everything was centered around the king. With him dead, there was a void there because he had been such a great king. Isaiah perhaps had his eyes on the great king and took his eyes off of the great God. Sound familiar? Here in Isaiah 6, there's an event described with what I would call a revival. And we see Isaiah leave with three things that I think we could take away, and we should take away anytime we mention the word revival. The first one is this: a souvenir of a renewed vision of our Savior. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 6. He says, "I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne." In Isaiah's case, revival wasn't a tent meeting or a special song or an altar call, but revival was him putting his eyes back on his God, getting him off of himself and his circumstances and all that surrounded him, and putting them back on the Savior. When was the last time you spent time with the Lord? Brother Dallas talked about it. We can cliche it and call, and we use that cliche of walking with God. But when was the last time it was you and God? And it wasn't just because you needed to fill a quota of reading, or because you needed to study a lesson, or because you needed to show good in front of the kids. But it was really just you and God meeting together. And you saw God as God, and He was glorified in you. You know, here's what happened here. He saw Him on the throne. He was lifted up high, and He let Him fill that temple. Which, by the way, you know who the temple is now? Us. Do you see Him? Philippians 2, verse 9 through 11 says, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." Think about it now. This isn't just little baby Jesus that we celebrated in December. This is Jesus, and man, there's hundreds of names for Jesus that we could go through and praise Him for. He's the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He's our Savior. He's our redemption. He's all those things. And what we need to do is we need to see Him as such. Revival is not the size of our crowd. In fact, it's us sizing. It's the size that we see our Savior. How big is He in your life? How big is He in your life? Revival is not the color of your tent. It's you concentrating on your Savior. Revival is not people at the altar. It's people altering their vision to see Christ first. Yea, Christ only in their life. Colossians chapter 1 says this: "Who had delivered us from the power of darkness, who had translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of His sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence, as was preached. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell." Listen, He is our God. That's the God that was waiting on you this morning. That's God. Jesus isn't some long-haired hippie wearing sandals and carrying a jam box on the beach. Jesus is God, and He's righteous, and He's holy, and however, He is love, and He is mercy, and He does want to spend time with us. We need to see Him as such. Romans 11, 36, "For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." From creation to Calvary, His complete life, His crucifixion, His resurrection, everything from the cross to the covered tomb, to the commission, to the church, to the charge to return again, He is God. He is our God. And we should worship Him as such, in spirit and truth, the Bible says. Sometimes in life, let's be honest, our circumstances steal away our sight from our Savior. We talked about our faith being attacked yesterday. We focus sometimes on family or country or things of this world and how they need revival. And we forget that we need revival. And revival is that renewed vision of the Savior. Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him, it says. Revival is when we see what He thinks. You know what a good souvenir to take away from revival would be? I'm going to go to God and see what He thinks about the decisions I make. That's a good T-shirt, not an Amazon one. You know what I'm going to do, or a good souvenir for revival, is to look at things the way He wants us to look at them. See Him in the Word as He is, high and holy. The song goes like this: turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Revival, one of the souvenirs of revival. When you leave here, if you say, we had revival. Now listen, it's not just a meeting. It's not just taking an hour of your time. It's not just singing some songs and going home. If you really had revival, listen, you know what we do? We wear those shirts. I'll never forget. I got shirts in my closet. We go to Mount Rushmore. I said, buy a shirt. Why? Souvenir. I saw it. Why do I need a shirt of it? So you remember. I got pictures. Buy a shirt. I got a shirt in my closet. Why? Because I was there. What are you going to take away from the revival? How about a renewed vision of our Savior? How about a renewed love, as Brother Dallas was talking about, for God and for the things of God? Here's the second thing that I feel like would be a good souvenir for us to take away from the revival. Second souvenir would be a renewed confession of our sin. Look at verse number 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. What a change in Isaiah's life. Even the man of God here has revival. Why? Because he realizes that he needs a renewal of the confession of his sins. Flip back a page to Romans 5. To Isaiah 5. I want to show you this. Isaiah 5, 8. Woe unto what? Who? Them. Yeah. Woe unto them. Verse 11. Woe unto them. Yeah. Skip down to verse 18. Woe unto who? Them. Yeah. Verse 20. Verse 21. Woe unto. Verse 22. Woe unto. Isaiah 6, 5. Then said I, woe unto them. No. Woe is me. It's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. See, we hear a lot of preaching sometimes, and we call it revival when we call the world bad. When we call sinners, sinners. You know why sinners sin? Because they're sinners. That's what sinners do. And I'm not saying we shouldn't warn about the world and the things of the world, but here's the thing. Their sin is great, and their sin is wicked. But you know what? It's when the Bible says that judgment starts at the house of God. And it's when you and I decide to get right that we can be the example. Good thing, one of the statements I took from lunch from the preacher is you being the example that the lost need to see. And that's what we ought to be. 2 Chronicles 7:14 speaks of revival. It's a revival passage. People preach it as revival, as the prerequisites to the revival, as the results of revival. But one of those things in there, in the list, is that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. My people turn from their wicked ways. You know what that means? That means God's people got some wicked ways. There was a time when we admitted we were sinners. Somebody showed us the gospel. We were lost. We were undone. We were on our way to hell. We had no hope. We had no one to help us. We had no way to get out of the punishment of sin and death. And someone showed us and said, listen, do you know you're a sinner? And most of the time when you ask somebody that, folks will say, yeah, I do. There may be the few that will lie and add to their sin debt, I guess, but the majority of us would admit admitted when we were lost that we were sinners. And that, by the way, if you won't admit you're lost, you can't be saved. There was a time when we admitted we were sinners. Romans 3:23 was shown to us, and it says all have sinned, and we agreed. Romans 5:12 said that sin entered into the world by one man, but that one man passed death and sin upon all men, for all have sinned. And we agreed. And Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we agreed. We agreed we were sinners. But then something happens, church, when we've been saved for 5 years or 10 years or been under the sound of the preaching for a little while, or we get a little refined in our Christianity and we forget the fact that inside of us is a sinful flesh and God is the only good thing we have. It's not how much Bible I know or how long I've been in church or how much money I give or how much I serve. It's God. God is the only good thing about us. We're still flesh at best. A souvenir revival is a renewed confession of our sins. Not a condemnation of the world's sin. Everybody can jump in when you're preaching against homosexuality and abortion and all those things that none of us do and don't want any part of and things like that. But boy, the preacher gets on some of that Galatians 5 sin and the works of the flesh, and he starts hitting a little bit of idolatry, and he starts hitting a little bit of hatred, and he starts hitting a little bit of fornication. He starts hitting a little bit of variance. You know what that means? Disagreements. That's a work of the flesh. Listed with adultery and fornication and drunkenness, variance. And then here's another one, emulations. That means competition. Well, I want to be better than them, or I want to look better than them. Hey, listen, we hide those sins real good. That envy, that jealousy, that bitterness. We do a real good job, and we would never commit a homosexual act. We would never have an abortion. We would never go gamble or go get drunk. But boy, we'll carry envy and bitterness and jealousy all day long. What if as a souvenir to the revival tonight, we walked away and said, you know what I did? I confessed my sin. I got right with God. That's what we used to call it. Psalm 51, David gets right with God. He says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. That's getting right. That's a man who for 1 year hid his sin and lied and tried to cover up his sin. And finally the preacher stands in his face and says, hey, you're the man. You've got some sin in your life. You need to get right. And he confesses and he walks away from revival, not with having invested an hour of sitting, but instead some time of confessing to God, God, I'm not perfect. I have some problems. I am struggling. Please help me, God. I got to have you. I can't do it by myself. That's what we used to call getting right with God. Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. What if you prayed that prayer tonight? What if you said, Lord, what is in me that I need to get rid of? What is in me that I need to remove to be closer to you? Search me, O God. Search my heart. Search my eyes. Search my mind. Search my hands. Search every part of me. When was the last time you just got along with God and told it all to Him? You know, He knows it all anyway. Being a parent, you know, you hear a big crash. You don't know which one worries you more, the big crash or the silence. You know, because when they're normally loud, and my son is, he gets it from his mom. And I'm joking. But you hear that silence or that loud crash, and you come in there and you see what happened. But you ask just to see if
you know, nothing. And having two now, my little girl's only almost 6 months, but Will already blames her. You know, you walk in there, what happened, Will? Madeline did it. Madeline can't even walk. She can't even crawl. How did she? Okay, she didn't do it. You know, sometimes we need that time of that with God, where God says, "Hey, what happened?" And for the last year, we've been saying nothing. For the last year, we've been saying him, her. I'm mad at them. I'm upset at them. I'm blaming them. And God says, "Now, come on." And what a souvenir of revival when we confess our sins. The obvious, the omitted, and the oft-hid sins in our life. Then number three, and I'll be finished. I think a great souvenir of revival is a renewed surrender to our service for God. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says that Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 8, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I go? Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" There was a need. And God spoke to Isaiah and said, "Hey, who's gonna fill that need? Who's gonna do this for us?" And the Bible says that Isaiah said, "Then said I, here am I, send me." Now the need was someone to go. Notice the surrender, "Here am I." Then notice the desire for service, "Send me." "Here am I, send me" is not one statement. Do you see the semicolon? Now, I'm not an English teacher, and I don't claim to be. But that's a pause. That's a change of thought. "Here am I, send me." "Here am I, send me." "Here am I" is the position or being ready to go. "Send me" is the pleading and desiring, begging to go, wanting to be used. "Here am I" says, "I'm at church." "Send me" says, "I'll sign up on the sheet." "Here am I" says, "Well, I'll come to the revival," but "Send me" says, "From now on, I'll help you, preacher, go out and invite other people to come to the church or to the revival." That's the "send me." You see, I think sometimes we do real good on the "here am I." But I think one of the souvenirs we could take from revival is to surrender to the "send me." Hey, not just I'm here and I'm willing or I'm ready, but I'm willing. I want to do it. Let me do it. Romans 6:17 says, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life." You see, we're no longer servants to sin. When you got saved, you become a servant of God. What kind of servant are you? Romans 12:1-2, very familiar passage of Scripture, talks about how we are beseeched. The Bible says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Reasonable. It's reasonable to be used by God. Remember when you first got saved and you got in church and the preacher said, "Oh, we need somebody to straighten the songbooks." You said, "Me." You was there. "Here am I." You was in church. But then all of a sudden, "Send me." And you started doing it. Maybe you started cleaning. Maybe you started doing something else. Maybe you started praying with the men, praying with the ladies. Maybe you started coming to the ladies' meet, working in the nursery, teaching Sunday school, working on the bus ministry, cooking for big events. Then something happened. Maybe you're just tired. And you've been thinking about quitting. Or the last few times that the preacher said, "I need a," he was like, "I'm here." It's about as much as you're going to get. Instead of, "Here am I, send me." Maybe the preacher announced or called the names of three or four that helped and your name didn't get called. And you lost your desire for serving. Still showed up. "Here am I." Tonight, what if you left the revival with a surrender to serve? And it wasn't just "here am I," but it was "send me." Preacher, what do you need? Preacher, I don't know this for sure, and I know that this is a, I'm preaching to the choir, some of you literally, but I mean, I'm preaching to the folks. I mean, you're back on a Monday night, you was here last night, some of you came straight from work. I mean, good folks. But what if everybody went to the preacher and said, "Preacher, what can I do to help you? What can I do in this area or that area? Or preacher, give me some area to serve in." Make his job hard. Make him find you a place. He just looked at me like, no. But hey, look, you know what he would do? He would find you somewhere, I guarantee you. He may even already have it and he's praying for it. And you say, "Here am I." But what about send me? What if he left the revival this year and said, that's the year I decided I was going to help in the kids' clubs. And 20 years from now, if Jesus tarries his coming, come back and preach, and you say, "Brother Davis, I've been serving in that kids' club for 20 years. You know, those who teach Sunday school, they had that moment where they surrendered to do so. Those that are preachers got called to preach when I was 17 years old. I was at the youth conference. Here am I. God spoke to my heart. I said, "Send me." Actually, I said, "Send somebody else because I ain't about to go." And God said, "I want to send you." I said, "All right, send me." I'll never forget that service. That was a revival. I got a souvenir to prove it. As I surrendered to serve God with my life. Isaiah didn't ask where or for what or with who. He just said, "I'm here, I'm ready, and I'm willing. Send me." Revival, a great souvenir for revival is a surrender to service. Maybe they need help on the bus. Maybe they need help in Sunday school. Maybe they need help in junior church. Maybe they need help in soul winning. By the way, all of us should be soul winners, should take tracts, pass out tracts. Revival is more than showing up at the church each night for a week. It's saying yes to serve the Lord when the lights go down, the evangelist leaves town, and the church is all that's around. Let me say that again. It's not just coming for a week to church. It's saying yes to the Lord when the lights go down, the evangelists leave town, and the church is all that's around. What souvenir did you get? Tomorrow when the meeting's over, and you say, "Well, we had revival." And somebody says, "Well, what does that mean?" When I say, "I went to Disney World, I still got my shirt." That one and the Amazon one. I say, "I went to Disney World right here." I can show them. What's your souvenir? What are you going to take home tonight? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I don't know what you needed, and I don't know if your revival will look like Isaiah's revival. But when Isaiah had revival, those were the things he took home with him. I think every person in here could use a little revival, a renewal, a return, a recovery. Here's three souvenirs. The first one, a renewed vision for the Savior. You and God back on the right terms. A renewed confession of our sin. You being honest before God. It's okay to ask for His help. He's the Creator. He made you. He knows you. He loves you. He wants to help you. He died for you. How much more so will He help you live for Him? And then a renewed surrender. Maybe there's a Sunday school teacher in here. You've been thinking about throwing in the towel. Maybe you have thrown in the towel and they threw it back to you and told you to get back to work. What if you walked away from revival and you said, "You know what my souvenir was? I decided to keep going a year. I decided to teach them kids one more year. I decided to sing in the choir one more year. I decided to work on that bus one more year. I decided to pass out tracts one more year. That was what I got from revival." So many times we leave revival and we say, "Well, we had revival," and we take nothing away from it. Let me challenge you. A renewed vision of your Savior, confession of your sins, and a surrender to serve your Savior. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder who would say, "Brother Davis, I needed that message. God spoke to my heart. I need revival." I don't know what area it is. I don't know which of those three, but you say, "I need revival. I want God to revive me. I don't want to leave this place and say, 'Well, we went to church. We did our duty. We fulfilled our hour and a half.' I want to say, 'I took something home. And it was that first love that I had walked away from, or it was seeing God the way I should see Him. It was confessing my sins and getting right about them, or it was surrendering to serve Him more. So, Brother Davis, that was me. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Would you slip your hand up? Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Hey, listen, somewhere between here and your seat, somewhere between this altar and your seat, you ought to just get on your knees and do business with God. You say, why? You know why we have an altar call? So that in the Old Testament they would sacrifice on that altar. It is a sacrifice for us. We sacrifice our pride. We sacrifice our person. We sacrifice everyone seeing us. And we say, God, I need You. And I don't care who knows it, but I want revival. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. If God spoke to your heart, why don't you come? Why don't you come do business with Him? She's going to play. Why don't you come? If you're here and you're not saved and you don't understand about revival, listen, you got to be made alive before you can ever be revived. Maybe, just maybe, there might be somebody here that's unsure that heaven is their home. If you died, you're not 100% sure you go to heaven. You say, Brother Davis, pray for me. I don't know that for sure, but I'd like to know that for sure. Please pray for me, Brother Davis. Anybody like that, would you slip your hand up? Anybody at all? Then Christians sitting in the pew, standing in the pew. We need revival. Don't leave empty-handed thinking, well, I'll get some online. It won't be the same. Go in, tell the people you know, we had revival. What'd you get from it? Look right here, here's my souvenir. Souvenirs of revival. Richard.
Lot to take home with you tonight. Remember, repent, return, remove. A renewed vision of the Savior, renewed confession of our sin, renewed surrender to service. All of those dealing with revival, coming back to our first love. Bible says there that we have left. He didn't leave us. We left. Isaiah got a vision of the Savior high and lifted up. Well, we have such a diminished vision of God Almighty in our culture today. We need a renewed vision of our Savior. High and lifted up. Holy, holy, holy is what they cry. Our kids are little. I miss getting souvenirs from places we go now. You ever thought about taking a souvenir home from church? I never thought about that. Truth is, you ought to take some souvenirs home this week. We ought to take a souvenir home every Sunday, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. Go to work the next day. Hey, let me show you what I got at church yesterday. That's good. Jesus, I surrender. Amen. Thank you so much for your attention tonight, for your attendance. Well, it's been good to be here. A lot packed in to an hour and a half. Amen. And I pray that you'll be back tomorrow night and get to hear these two men again before they leave out. And don't miss the opportunity. Come back tomorrow night and let God bless you once again. We're going to pray and be dismissed and ask the Lord to give us safety as we go to our homes tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Jeremiah Johnson to pray for us tonight and dismiss us. Boy, I appreciate them coming, both these men from Mississippi and their ministries there. And Just so grateful for them coming to be with us tonight. Brother Jeremiah, you dismiss us, please, sir.
Lord, thank you for the opportunity given each of us today to be in your house tonight. Lord, what a privilege it is to come to your house each time that we're able to come.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for the truth that we heard tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help us not to so soon walk out of the doors of this place and forget them, but God, I pray that you would help us to be able to renew our first love, Lord, to remember what things brought us revival. Lord, you've given us revival in our lives, and God, may we clean up our lives. And Lord, you certainly want to have revival come to your church, Lord, that we might be able to spread it to our nation. And Lord, I just pray that you would just please, Lord, send revival. And Lord, I do pray that you'd be with the church here. Lord, bless the meeting. I pray, God, that you would just help this church to go forth in this community. Lord, to do the work that they need to do. God, may you put a burden upon their heart, Lord, to be able to reach the lost in this area. Lord, thank you for Pastor Smart. Would you give him wisdom as he leads this place? And Lord, I just pray that you would just please bless the meeting. Lord, give us all safety to go our separate ways. And Lord, you bring the church back tomorrow night. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.